do with your Bibles at home, and I don't know how many thousand you have. Because some families, they get handed down, don't they? The days when they're huge. And it was a family Bible, where the first person had the Bible, the names, then the children, who they married, next generation, and so on. So in many ways, for them, family, it also became a reference book. It became a history book in that sense. So that was one use. And I'm sure none of you have ever used one of your Bibles for a doorstop. Or to prop up other books. And I'm sure if anyone came into your house and they wandered in the front room, through the front door, into the kitchen, or whatever, they'd be able to say, oh look, there's a Bible. It might not be true. I don't know. I might, if you came to my house, I might have to move a few layers of paper, but it's definitely there. But we have different views on the Bible, don't we? And I still find it amazing that after so many years, it still hits the top of the books that are bought. It's amazing, isn't it? It doesn't guarantee that people read it, but it's still a book that people follow. It's a book that is often given to people at baptism, confirmation, and sometimes at weddings. And I was interested to read that there's over 80 translations of the Bible in English. That excludes all the other languages. And altogether, it's been translated to something like 756 languages. That's the whole of the Bible. The New Testament into another 1,726. And parts of the scripture into 1,274. So it's still a book, as a living book, that's making a difference in people's lives. A book where we discover the story of God's love and purpose for us as part of his creation. And it goes from Genesis through to Revelation. From Adam and Eve being turned out of the Garden of Eden because they wanted their own thing rather than just being in God's company. And we've continued at times, haven't we, wanting our own thing rather than spending time in God's company. And we end up at the end of Revelation, a new heaven and a new earth, where we're going to be reunited in a new way with God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, his Son. It's quite exciting, isn't it, when you think about it? And we're somewhere in the middle of it. But don't ask me where. All I know is we're in that bit of timeline. After Jesus' death, resurrection for us, the early parts of history. And what I love is when you read the New Testament, the people who wrote the letters, and the Gospels, were really sure at times that Jesus is coming back very soon. And we've lost some of that, haven't we? Because history is still on. We do not know when Jesus is coming back. But I guess the challenge is for us, as we did read and discover what's in the Bible, is how we go about it and what we read. And that's always a challenge, isn't it? Some of us, we have Bible reading notes. Some of us are just focused on a book. Some of us are just focused on a passage. All of us are different, and I would want to say we probably need different things at different times in our life. But spending time with God, spending time with somebody we love, is worth it. Because we get to know that person, they get to know us. And we discover that in prayer, through worshiping together, and by reading God's Word. And I just want to challenge each one of us this morning as to what our Bible reading habits are. Do we? Or do we think we don't need to do them? Do we get it by some sort of thing? Oh yes, we will. I just fancy reading that. Or do we do it on a regular basis? And it's only as we study on a regular basis and read God's word that we really begin to grapple with what is there. And it's very easy to focus on the New Testament, because that is not the birth and the life of Jesus in the Gospels. Acts tells us how the good news was spread outwards after Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension. And the letters were written to encourage the early Christians and also to challenge them in their behaviour as they began to grapple, what does it mean to be a Christian? What did it mean for them in our Jewish culture, our Greek culture, as they moved out of their comfort zone, particularly Jews, into something that was life-giving, life-refreshing. And I believe that as we read the Bible, it is life-giving, life-refreshing. And we can read it on whatever level we like. We can read it as a great story, on the Old Testament, interesting enough, when a paraphrase came out by Kenneth Taylor called The Living Bible, which is yonks ago. So a paraphrase is really just trying to translate it and put it into language that people could understand at that moment. And the equivalent for today is probably The Message by Eugene Peterson, where he spent years trying to put the whole of the Bible into words that would have meaning and understanding for people today. But what is sometimes lost is the historical culture context. But I've said before, I really got hooked on it. You know, it's full, you know, somebody who came last night to watch Death on the Isle, on the Nile. Murders? Want a good murder book? You don't know what's going to happen, or who's going to kill who, and if there's a reason behind it. You're into history? Definitely good history books. If you want to struggle and know how God helped the early people to understand how to live and what's good for them, when you've got the law, you've got the Ten Commandments, which Jesus added a different dimension, an extra dimension to it in his life. And you've got the encouragement from the prophets, as well as the challenge from the prophets. And you've got that good news about Jesus as a person. And one of the things I believe is that each of us need to find a version of the Bible that suits us. Some of you will love King James Version. Some of you will read it even its more updated version and sort of think, what on earth is it all about? But we find something where we can find something that we feel comfortable with, and there's so many versions around. And it's up to us to look, to share. I know John's got a collection, I've got a collection, and other people have. So it's worth asking, saying, what do you recommend? What can I have a look at? Because we need to remember that the Bible has come down over the years. The Hebrew Bible, the people of Israel, the Hebrews, over the years put into writing some of the oral traditions at various times. It was written in Hebrew. A lot of the New Testament was written in Greek, which is a language that was across the world at that time. It's a bit better American than that. But what, not being a language person, what I realised for the first time was that Hebrew and Greek are what are called primary languages. They're pure, they don't come from anywhere else. And if you ever try reading Hebrew or translating it, then there are things like Hebrew doesn't have any vowels. And like a lot of languages from the Middle East, you're reading from right to left. which is utterly confusing, used to my little brain. And it was later that people began to sort of say, we need to understand this, and attempts were made to put it in language that people would understand. And in about 382, Jerome was ordered, asked by the Pope to translate the books that had been chosen to come together to form the Bible into Latin, because Latin was becoming the common language in many ways. And then, I just find it amazing how far back it goes. In the 8th century, John Wycliffe began to translate the Bible into English. You know, all writing out longhand. And it was really only in the 15th century, when printing press was developed, that William Tyndale was able to produce a Bible in English for everyone to read and understand. And that was almost a wonderful rebellion against what was happening in the church, where everything was in Latin. And people believed in something the Bible would have to give, that they wanted to a language that everyone could understand. And that's a challenge, isn't it? We need to be able to understand what we read. Sometimes it's very good. And certainly in the 20th century, there's been so many different versions coming out. Revisions of revisions of revisions, that edition, a newer one of that. But you can get lost. But at the heart of it all, is knowing and believing that the Bible is God's word. It is written, as we've heard in some of the readings, to help us understand who God is, who Jesus is, why he came, what his death and resurrection means for us. A collect from the Book of Common Prayer says, all Holy Scripture is written for our learning. Grant that we may read, mark, learn, inly digest them. Embrace them and hold fast the hope of everlasting life. And that's a challenge. If we don't struggle with the Bible, then I think we miss out as Christians. That's not that we have to read a lot every day. Some people say, well, actually, I don't. I perhaps find time, some point during the week, to really spend time with the Bible. Others will read a passage in the morning. Others at night when they've got time. I know somebody who used to read a chapter of the Proverbs every evening. And I try to read a psalm every evening before I go to sleep. But there have been times recently when I've gone to sleep before I've got very far, I have to be honest. But sometimes we are ashamed of being seen in the Bible, of reading it. And one thing I really noticed when I was in London was on a tube, on the buses, how many people from Afro-Caribbean backgrounds were happily sitting there on the bus, on the tube, with their Bibles open, reading it. And I always found it a challenge. Because even on the train, when I wanted to do something, I actually thought, who's sat next to me? Will they think? So, but at that time, I thought, well, what am I doing for that? I want to read it. So what? They ask questions? Brilliant. And other people would just take a short passage and just think about it and meditate on it all week. But we have to find our way through. We have to discover for ourselves that the Bible is a living book. And if we think, well, actually, my eyes aren't so good. We know what that's like. Get something bigger print and then you sort of think, oh, how do I lift it? But the tape, the Bible is available to download. It's on cassettes. You download it from the internet on CDs. And so there's no excuse. And actually, when you can download it, it's on CD, you can listen to it wherever you go. And actually, for those who are really into smartphones, you can get Bibles on your phone, so there's no excuse. And nobody, when you're sat on the bus or wherever you are, waiting on the bus stop, will actually probably take any notice of you reading the Bible. But let it become part of us. And those of you who receive the news, weekly newsletter electronically, will have read this yesterday, where John says, today we're going to celebrate Bible Sunday. We use Bible Sunday as a way for us to reflect on the scriptures, to think about where they are in our heart, and how they provide foundations for what we do as Christians, both individually and as a church. The scriptures call us to come together to be God's people, to receive his promise of love freely given to us, as in the reading from Isaiah, where it says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. The Bible can change lives, our lives, enable us to grow closer to God and closer to one another. So may we be challenged afresh and rejoicing that we, people over the years, have given their lives so that we have God's word today in so many versions that we can read easily.